This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
We all know the feeling you've had a random hookup and you can't even remember their name. It was fun. What's not fun, though, is making that appointment with your GP just to get the routine STI checks. It's hard enough getting an appointment, and you often don't feel like waiting hours at the sexual health centre. It's an inconvenient, but it's necessary to manage your sexual health. Well, imagine if you could take a pill after an encounter that prevents some STIs. That would be so much easier and certainly put your mind at ease. Well, it seems it may be possible. It's called DoxyPep, and Dr. Nick Cox is a GP based in Brisbane, knows all about it. Nick, welcome to Drive.
Hi, how are you going?
Very well, thank you. DoxyPep, what is it?
Yes, so we're calling it DoxyPep. But essentially what that means is that it is a medication, an antibiotic called doxycycline, which is taken prophylactically after an exposure. So what that means is that practically you would take 200 milligrams of doxycycline, which is usually two tablets, after having sex, obviously, in sort of a 72-hour window after that encounter.
What? So it's 72 hours, is it?
Correct. Yeah, so three-day window. With the goal being to, I guess, reduce the chance of contracting a bacterial STI. So that's the three main ones would be chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis.
How do we get it? Is it available to everyone at the moment, or is it still on trial?
Yeah, so it is available to get, which you would essentially do through, I guess, your GP, or if you're using another sort of sexual health service through them. It's not, I guess, widely prescribed at the moment, which is mainly, I guess, by virtue of the fact that it's quite a newly used medication. So, we're still sort of learning about it as we're going. But it's relatively cheap to buy on a private script at pretty much any pharmacy.
Nick, can you go to your doctor and you might not have had sex and you just say, hey, can I get some of this DoxyPep and just keep it in my medicine cupboard? Or can you only get it if you suspect that you might need it and you haven't got time to wait for a test?
Yeah, good question. I've been talking about this a lot in my consult room, usually when I'm seeing patients, I guess, regularly. So it might be their 3-monthly prep checkup or something like that. And the conversation about DoxyPep has come up. It wouldn't be sort of very useful in the instance that you're particularly worried because you've got symptoms that you've developed. It would need to be sort of within that 3 days after having sex that you would take it. And it would be the sort of medicine that I guess you could leave, on your nightstand or something like that to use if you needed to.
We've been told that we need to reduce our use of antibiotics so that we don't, I suppose, run out of options as resistant bacterial strains emerge. Isn't it better to only prescribe antibiotics when there is an actual infection?
Yeah, so I've been saying to my patients, I think the, DoxyPep is probably not something overall that I'd recommend for everyone. I think certainly an individualized assessment of your risk level is very important because there are particular examples where I think that the benefit of using it might outweigh the risk. I guess recently it came up a lot with Mardi Gras and that sort of thing where people might use DoxyPep, I guess when they're planning to be more sexually active, but then not use it regularly. I think the biggest concern around it, certainly from a public health point of view, is the antibiotic resistance.
What other risks are there in taking antibiotics frequently?
So the common things we see obviously would be the side effects. Any drug that you take, you could be allergic to, which can cause a whole host of symptoms. But particularly with antibiotics, we see nausea, vomiting and diarrhea a lot. And then obviously the disruption of the microbiome. So, antibiotics are very good at killing bad bacteria, but they also kill off a lot of the really good bacteria that lives in our GI tract.
We're chatting with Dr. Nick Cox about the new PEP, DoxyPEP, that's available to treat some common bacterial STIs. Now, I was just looking at my questions and, Nick, I was thinking, oh, I don't want to be so negative about it, but these were the questions that came to mind today when I was thinking about it. What if you're very active? I suppose, you know, you don't want to be popping them like peppermint, you know, if you're having sex every day with a different partner or something like that. Where's that sensibility? Where do you draw the line there?
Yeah, look, the biggest message I really try and reinforce to everyone is, you know, I think regular screening, there's really no substitute for it. So for patients who are, you know, quite sexually active, I think, you know, the most important thing is, I guess, taking away any of that STI stigma and just, you know, presenting or coming for regular screening. Because when STIs do pop up, you know, 99 times out of 100, they're really easily treatable. And it could save you a lot of, I guess, unnecessary antibiotics.
And I suppose with so many people taking it, I imagine if it was, you know, we'd be increasing the amount of people taking doxycycline, would we risk the existing STIs, the bacterial STIs, becoming resistant to it?
Yeah, so that's definitely one of the big concerns. We know already with DoxyPEP that for gonorrhea in particular, it's probably only about a 50% reduction in the risk of contracting it, which is due to the pre-existing resistance to gonorrhea. And, you know, I guess in that particular example or other bugs like a mycoplasma infection, you know, it probably will feed the resistance. On the flip side, for other STIs like syphilis and chlamydia, it looks to be quite effective in preventing it.
So talk to your GP first, I imagine.
Exactly right. Yeah, I think that conversation's very important. I do think, you know, as a GP myself, I never want anyone to feel like I'm, you know, I guess kind of gatekeeping them or saying no to something that they feel would be of benefit. But I think, you know, really making sure that we make a shared decision about, I guess, what's in the long-term best interests of the patient.
Nick, let's talk about something else that's quite exciting. We know what PrEP is, but there's been some developments in how we can potentially administer it. Tell us that about those developments.
Yeah, so in August last year, there was a meeting for the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee, so essentially the group of people who decide what medicines should be listed on the PBS, and they made a recommendation for a new medication to be used as PrEP. So we're still waiting for that, I guess, officially to come in and to be able to prescribe it, I guess, at a subsidized price to patients. But they made the recommendation for a new medicine called cabotegravir, which is actually an injectable form of PrEP that works for 8 weeks.
Ah, so instead of taking a daily pill, you just inject it every 8 weeks. Can you do it yourself?
Correct. Normal at the moment, in sort of the data that they're reading, they're suggesting going to see, I guess, your doctor or a practice nurse or someone like that to inject it. You know, again, I think that that would be a conversation that you'd be having with your, you know, regular GP about what works the best for you.
And I imagine that it would be good for people who perhaps have a tendency to forget taking it sometimes.
Exactly,
or they go away
right.
And don't pack it with them or something like that.
Yeah, so there's a few reasons why this medication might be good. It looks like it's kinder on kidneys and bone density, which I don't know if that's come up on the show before, but certainly those two things would be, I guess, the most significant long-term risks of the oral PrEP that most people are using at the moment. But also those practical issues like people who have a hard time remembering to take their tablets or, you know, people who might be worried about their privacy with buying or storing tablets. And, you know, there's lots of different examples I can think of that might make it a long-acting injection an easier option.
Now, Nick, we're really going to annoy you here because the Joy Drive family, this is our GP consult. We booked a short appointment, but we've got a long one because I've got something else I want to ask you as well.
No worries.
Let's touch on mental health. So I was having a conversation with a friend over the weekend, and he was saying that he's still struggling with his mental health after COVID. What are you noticing at your clinic?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, it really feels like if you haven't felt some sort of mental health impact, I think over the last 4 to 5 years, I'm not really sure how you've kind of avoided feeling that. It's been coming up more and more for me. And certainly, you know, treating mental health conditions can be really complicated and I think often financially quite draining for, you know, patients who are who are undergoing therapy and regular review and all this sort of thing.
Is it anecdotally, I hear that it's also difficult to get into, say, a psychologist at the moment. Are you finding a lot of people are falling back on their GPs for that support?
I do, yeah. So through COVID, the government, I guess, essentially had agreed to subsidise 20 psychotherapy sessions per patient per year. But I think about 12 or sort of 18 months ago now, they reduced that back down to 10. So, and for some people, that's more than enough, you know, but for others, it's not. And so I guess that can be quite challenging, and often, you know, it ends up being us and the patient trying to manage it together.
If someone is struggling with their mental health, would you recommend seeing their GP as the first point of call?
Yeah, I definitely would. I think, you know, I was having a think about this today, and I think the, you know, certainly the starting point is, I guess, identifying what is wrong. Because I think for a lot of patients, they come in and they don't know what's wrong. They just don't feel like themselves, or they feel tired. And so working through that together, and I guess actually establishing what their symptoms are and what the diagnosis is, gives us a direction to go in.
Fantastic. Nick, you know what? That's it. That's all we've got booked for today. I might do an STI screen on the way out.
Yeah, it might be a good idea.
It's our Joy Drive family GP appointment. Nick, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us today. We'll chat to you next time.
No worries. Nice speaking to you.
Dr. Nick Cox is GP based in Brisbane. You're on Joy Drive.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.